Well, we've been watching the collapse of California happening for decades, and now we're seeing in many ways the culmination of that collapse, collapsing under the weight of the bureaucracy, incompetence, maybe communist leaders that run California. But what about Hollywood? What about the film industry? When you travel through Hollywood and you take tours and you want to see the Hollywood Walk of Fame and you want to get a studio tour, you think maybe as a tourist that all of these incredible films are being filmed in Hollywood, right? After all, the industry grew out of Hollywood. All of the films you go see, Mission Impossible, everything else, right? It's all in Hollywood. Not so fast. Is Hollywood collapsing in the same way that California is collapsing? Well, James Agnew is a producer, screenwriter. He went viral a few weeks ago during an interview because he works in Hollywood, lives in that area, and talked about what is coming to Hollywood, how basically you can't really film anything there anymore because of the bureaucracy and weight of it all. Everything you're watching on television is pretty much filmed elsewhere. So what is left? Is Hollywood gone? James joins us now to talk about this. James, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So as, and you're not an anti-Hollywood guy, we should be clear. You've got two films coming out very, very soon, right?
Yes.
I guess, so this is not like you're kind of stepping all over California. You live in California. You live in Burbank. You're from that area. But you've been watching this deterioration with your own eyes. Maybe you can kind of step back a little bit and give our audience a frame of reference on what's actually happening there and where you came from.
Yeah, I've been in the film business since I got out of college, and I grew up in the LA area. So I kind of just ended up in it. You know, if I'd lived in Detroit, I probably worked on an assembly line with cars. But, you know, it was just there. I ended up in it. I've been in it 30 years and producing and writing. And I've done a lot of films with pretty big name actors. I've worked with Adrian Brody, Anthony Hopkins, Nick Cage. So, you know, I've made a good living doing this. But the decline in just LA alone in California has been really, really just, it's gone off the cliff the last year or two. But the thing is, it's become part of the zeitgeist. People are talking about it a lot now, but the decline's been happening for 15 years. I produced a film in 2013 that was in Alabama. The first film that was shot there with a new tax credit, tax incentive, I'll just call it incentive. I don't wanna get too much in the weeds with that stuff, but it's been happening for a very long time. Suddenly people are talking about it. But the big reason, and this is one thing that people don't understand, the big reason California, no one shoots here anymore in LA or California, is that our tax incentive program to keep productions here, which this is the heart of the film industry and TV industry, is not competitive with any other state. It's full of bureaucracy. It's just bogged down with there's a job ratio system, which no other state has, which I don't want to get too much into that because that's really complicated. And above the line costs are not applied, which means that you can't get a tax incentive on actors, directors, writers, you know, those kind of people that are not crew. Every other state pretty much in the country allows those things. So California has a non-competitive system. And right now, the state wants to double down on the money, go from $330 million a year to like 700 and something, but not change it to be a competitive system. So the way it's kind of structured is it only works. The people who get the money because this job system is that studios use the people who don't need the money, get the money. So that's the big problem. And it's kind of pushed all the independent films, a lot of TV shows, everybody's gone other places.
I remember hearing about Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe was on a podcast recently talking about, it's really sad. You walk into these studios now and they used to be hustling and bustling, golf carts going everywhere, productions happening in this giant hangar over here. And over here is a big film being filmed. This TV show is over in that hangar over there. Now it's kind of like a ghost town. There's just sort of like tumbleweeds rolling through. And even his own television show is like a game show, I think, was even filmed. They found it to be cheaper to fly the entire crew and cast out to Ireland to film the game show rather than work in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we just did that on a film 2 years ago. I produced a film. We flew the entire crew to Kentucky because to fly 40, 50 people to Kentucky, put them in a hotel room, keep them there for 2 months, pay for all their per diem and everything was cheaper than shooting in LA because you get 30% tax incentive from the state. everything's cheaper. You know, I'll give you one example. We rented a courthouse for the film, and it cost $200 to use the parking lot, and they gave us the courthouse for free. In LA, that would cost you $50,000 a day, if not more. Plus, on top of it, all the bureaucracy, you'd have to, you know, hire tons of security, you'd have to block off streets. Places like Kentucky, I've done films in Kentucky, Mississippi, Alabama, they're just like, sure, go do that. It comes down to like them having enthusiasm about it and being business friendly. Where in LA, you know, it's not business friendly. Everybody, you know, has their hands out. Everybody wants to, you know, if you try to like rent a bodega and you make a deal for $5,000, the morning you show up, because everybody kind of knows the system, they'll say, well, we want 20,000. So you either have to move your entire crew somewhere else in like 10 minutes and find another location, or make a deal with them and pay them more money. So it's just a culmination of all these things, you know, that have just kind of spiraled, and it's gotten to where I don't know if anybody's going to shoot in LA anymore. I think Rob Lowe's correct. It's a ghost town.
I mean, a lot of people talk about the bureaucracy in California. I have a family, of course, in California, and it's absolutely brutal for business owners. The layers and layers of regulations and bureaucracies make it almost impossible. And I know that he wants to sell one of his businesses off because it's too onerous. So here you actually have actual real world examples, concrete examples of, because a lot of people throw around, oh, California bureaucracy, all the regulations, but here you can actually look at how these incentives and tax rebates are affecting the film industry, and they're just moving out. Could you be more specific exactly how, like, if I'm a filmmaker, I've written a film, I've got my producers all together, we're ready to kind of put this scout locations. What would I be considering, and why would California just completely fall off the map immediately as a choice?
Well, yeah, okay. Let's just use a test example of, like, let's say you're going to spend $2 million, make a small film. If you made a small film in California for $2 million, more than likely you're not going to qualify for any of those tax incentives. And if you do, it'll be a fraction of what you could get somewhere else. Everything is more expensive. Equipment's more expensive. Gasoline is more expensive because producing a film, you use a lot of fuel. You have generators, you have trucks, you have things you have to move. So that's also more expensive. You also have, you know, you're right at the heart of the unions. And sometimes, you know, look, you have to use unions to make films. But, you know, sometimes when they show up on the set the first day of filming, and they're like, okay, that guy can't press that button to make the smoke on the set, you got to hire another guy just to do that, you know, so you have them right there, you know, and equipment's more expensive. Now, if you take that same $2 million and you go shoot a movie in Kentucky, everything's less expensive. It's a right to work state. You can do so many more things. And at the end of the day, the state will give you, on everything you spend, actors, everything across the board, they'll give you 30% back. It's 25 to 30, but it's usually about 27 because some things qualify differently. But just to make it easy, let's say 30%. So if you spend $2 million in Kentucky, when your movie's finished, you get a check for, you know, what, $600,000 from the state. And they
Wow.
give it to you. And I just did one of those, and it was so easy to deal with. We just filled out paperwork, you get approved, you show that you have the money to make the movie, and when you turn in all your paperwork, they audit you and they give you a check. And it's like that. So your $2 million movie now only costs you 1.4. And the margins in selling films right now, you can still make money in the film business, but they're getting tighter and tighter. So that's why no one shoots in California, because it's not competitive with the rest of the world.
Well, I was in LA just a few weeks ago, and I took my son there, and we were driving through Hollywood, and he wanted to see the Hollywood sign. So we drove through, and we were up in Burbank at one point. I was showing them in different studios, and you're seeing the Warner Brothers studio and all of that. And then you're down in Hollywood looking at the Paramount Studios, and you see the famous water towers, and it's exciting. You see the big billboards everywhere for Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible films. But none of that really is being done there at all anymore. Am I right? So all of the mystique, you see pictures of Batman everywhere. There's all of that, the famous Hollywood movies, and it's all a charade at this point, isn't it?
I mean, even Marvel, you look at, they're one of the biggest companies who make the highest, you know, budgeted films. They shoot in London, they shoot in Georgia, they shoot places where it's easier for them as a business. And this is one thing that I've been saying too, is like, the issues in on with the film business are not, you know, Democratic or Republican. We have a across the board representatives in California who I think don't understand business. You can take every other issue out. I think our state legislature doesn't understand it. The governor doesn't understand it. Our city council doesn't understand it. None of them are business people. And that's the example is like instead of fixing the incentive program, bringing people back, they just want to double the amount put in it, not change anything to make it more competitive. And another example is that the city of LA has put this new initiative in to like bring back production. And it's the equivalent of like putting a Band-Aid on a shotgun wound. They're bragging about what they're doing, but in practicality, it may save you 0.01% of your budget. You know, they're like, we're trying to streamline permits. It doesn't, no one's gonna go, oh wow, we could save, you know, $2,000 instead of getting $300,000 back from Kentucky or 600,000. You know, it doesn't make sense, but yet they go out and I don't know if they understand business or just don't care. It's one or the other because their solutions lack creativity, which is ironic in a city full of supposedly creative people.
Right. It's supposed to be the most creative city in America, right? Or the world, arguably. And now it's crumbling. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, are they even aware that they are literally destroying this massive industry, which, you know, gave rise to Hollywood, gave rise to Los Angeles, gave rise to you know, all of these other companies, these satellite companies that have moved in to support the film industry. Do they realize they're killing it?
I don't know because the other example I gave in the other interview I did was you know our one city council person in LA is Nathaya Raman, I don't know how to say her last name, but she represents Hollywood. Her husband is a big TV and writer and producer. He does his shows in New York and other places. He doesn't shoot in California. So if the LA city council person whose husband goes other places to shoot films, what do we really think she's going to step up and come up with some solutions? No, they've like given up. And I think there's also it's been a little bit of a mirage too last few years because Netflix spent a lot of money. You know, they've kind of pulled back because let me just take one step back. I went to Netflix a few years ago to pitch a TV show and I went with a producer and I don't know if you've ever been to Netflix lobby, but it's glorious. It's this crazy building and lobby. And I said to him, I go, I can't believe how much money they spent on the lobby. This is nuts. Because we had just been to like studios where they stick you in a bungalow from, you know, 1920s to pitch the show, you know, so we're in there. He said, don't think of Netflix as entertainment. They're a tech company and they're trying to get market share. And this was about 2016, 17. And I think what happened is, and we've seen it, you know, Disney tried to create a streamer, Paramount tried to create a streamer, everybody tried to fight with Netflix. And so for a few years, the money hose was on. So it kind of masked the problems in LA because people were just throwing money at things because they didn't care. They were trying to get market share. Netflix came out on top and Amazon and everybody else is, you know, Paramount Plus is being sold. Warner Brothers is, you know, chopping up their divisions. So that's gone. So now, that kind of all just made it more of a barren place where there's even less going on because now Netflix just does things that they make a lot of shows, but they're doing it their pace. They're not trying to get market share against 10 other competitors. So that kind of masked a lot of the problems for the last 5 or 6 years. Now the money hose is
That's
turned off. It's a different thing.
fascinating. So yeah, because a lot of the Netflix shows, if you think about it, like Stranger Things or otherwise, I mean, they're not filmed in Los Angeles, right? I mean, they're filmed
No.
in various other locations. So, and they were throwing so much money at this, and so was Apple. You know, Apple with their streaming platform, and man, it was all kinds of money flowing, and they were chomping at the bit, you know, to get as
Yeah.
many things as they possibly could get produced. So why do you think the money hose has been turned off?
Because well, first of all, I think Netflix just won that war with the streamers. So there's not as much competition. So they're like Netflix and Amazon. There's not a lot of places anymore to like even pitch shows or sell shows. And TV is down. I'm in the Writers Guild. They just sent out something that said TV jobs are down 40% in the last 2 years. So that was because that, you know, that whole market share thing, they were just, that's why we saw a lot of shows in the last 3 or 4 years or 5 years that kind of were bad TV
Yeah.
shows because they could just make whatever. It was about market share. It wasn't about quality. So now everything's contracted. The margins are tighter. So it's like no one cares anymore about anything except trying to make money, and we hear a lot of DEI stuff about the film business. I think that's completely gone because no one cares anymore. That it's more about survival now, and the film business is still, you can make money and you can do things, but you have to be smarter than ever, and the margins are tighter than ever.
Do you th so? You and I spoke a couple of years ago, and I won't tell our audience what we talked about, but let me just ask you this, I guess, kind of flat out. You said DEI is gone. This has been a big concern for people who, don't want to, they want to sit back after a long day of work and they want to flip on a show with their spouse and they don't want to be preached to or lectured to, or 3 episodes in, suddenly you've got a trans character that's making out with a, whatever, and you're like, oh my God. There's those memes that go around on Instagram where, you start a new show and you're hoping that it won't be woke or there won't be DEI, and then suddenly it just and you flip it off. It descends into chaos, so you stop watching TV altogether. So do you think we've turned a corner? Disney just, with their Snow White collapse, their disaster. We've seen these films that are in production for a few years that are still kind of trickling out. Can we be hopeful? Like, is this really done? Is the DEI era over in Hollywood?
I think so for the most part, because again, I even when DEI was very strong, and listen, I heard it several times to my face. I'd love to hire you, but you're a white, straight white guy. I can't hire you for this job. Many times. I'm not going to go sue people and make a big deal about it because I've been in the business a long time. But I think it's pretty much over because even when that was going on, I said, look, at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to the most important color in the film business, which is green money. Because it's still a business. And I think because, like I said, the thing with Netflix and these streaming wars, it was easy to kind of put the business aside and be like, we just got to spend money. We just got to make as many shows as possible. So the gatekeepers were allowed to do whatever they wanted. And now I think it's contracted so much that, now it's okay. What's, because I hear people say it to me all the time, do you got any pop, they call them populist ideas. Do you have any populist ideas for a TV show? I now that those conversations are happening, and it's
Wow.
not that it has anything to do with anybody's gender or sexuality. It's just more, what is the broader audience? And
Right.
so that's a big part of it because it's still at the end of the day, it's supposed to be entertainment. You want to create something
Right.
that the most amount of people like. If you want to do something very niche, which is what art is about too, you do something that you don't spend tons and tons of money to do it. You do it very small and be like, here's my art house film.
So that's amazing. So you were told flat out to your face, I'd love to hire you. You're a great screenwriter, but you're white. I can't do that. And under basically our DEI umbrella, I've got to find a person of color or some sort of a gender identity or some sort of a political statement to hire somebody. And they would hire this person. Would you say that didn't matter what color of the skin they were probably far less competent than you? And then would they end up having to like spend double the amount of money to come in and fix the problem later? Like, oh, we got to bring the white guy back in. Even though we don't want to bring that white guy back in, let's bring him back in to fix the crappy job that this other person did over here. This brown person just doesn't matter what color the skin is, that person's just not competent, right?
Yeah, that happened quite a bit. The thing is, I'm very lucky that most of my career I've written feature films. It's not as prevalent in features because when you put it together a movie, it's kind of like starting your own business. You do a lot of sweat equity writing the script, putting it together. Even at a studio level, you have to do a lot of work. So that's almost like starting a small business. But when you work in TV, TV is corporate. You're hired by Apple, you're hired by HBO, you're hired by ABC. So those were the places that had those kind of things. Like my old man, my old agent said one time, I had sold a TV show to ABC and written a few pilots and had a name in TV. And then 2016, 2017, I asked him, I was like, well, maybe I could staff a job. TV's exploding. I can't get you on a show. You're a straight white guy. He said straight to my face. But he didn't mean it in a bad way. He's like, we're in an uphill battle. So, but I think most of that's over now because it's all about just really, coming to the table, making something that's successful financially and creatively.
Yeah, I mean, these audiences are voting with their wallets, right? So you make a movie like Snow White, or you make these other sort of DEI films, people see right through it these days, and they're sick of it. The audience is sick of it. At the end of the day, you're making these films for entertainment for people, and if they're just they're not going to take their families to see this stuff.
I think so. I think it's gotta, because it's self-preservation at this point. You know, it's just like the same way, you know, the film business is filled with a lot of people who are, I would say, working on a movie or working in the film business like being on a pirate ship. You all get on a ship and you have the same goal, but the second you turn around, somebody's gonna kick you overboard and take your gold. You know, so you know, that's kind of how it works. But it's also filled with a lot of very intelligent, savvy people, and that's why they've shifted to shooting things in Europe, shooting things all over the place. Because if you go to Bulgaria, you know, I know one big producer who's doing everything now in Hungary, Bulgaria, that part of the world, and he's like, it's so easy to shoot here. We pay minimal pension and health because they have universal health care. We don't have to deal with problems. People want to work. They're very, you know, enthusiastic. They've got great crews. And he's like, I don't need the hassle of shooting in America. He's like gone completely, not just LA, like America. He doesn't want to film in America ever again because it's just a headache. So he's like, it's so much easier. Everybody's, you know, just more amenable to getting the product done, and they love the work.
And you were right. I mean, this has been happening for decades because I can remember hearing about all of these productions happening in Vancouver back when, like, Smallville. Like, you think, oh, they're going to film this, you know, Superman show in Kansas, Smallville, Kansas. Nope. Filming it in Canada. You know, X-Files, famously, all through Vancouver. The Killing, another, you know, a show that I loved, all filmed in Vancouver. I mean, the list of Vancouver shows, even Deadpool, Vancouver, Canada. Like, what's Canada got going on that the United States doesn't have?
Well, that's been going on for a long time, but it's just accelerated like the last 10 years, you know, because all the other places, like I said, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, New York, even, they all like looked at what LA was kind of not doing, and they did it. And it's for the last 15 years, they all have created these programs to basically steal all the work away and the productions. And Europe too. Every European country across the board has incentives, some up to like 50% if you do it right. You know, in Austria, I think right now, if you do it in certain regions stuff, you can get 50% of your money back. Well, California for the last 15 years hasn't done anything to change it. We've just kind of, that's why I'm so upset, is we just kind of sat around and just looked at ourselves. You know, our representatives don't have any creative thinking. They're just like, well, oh, now we should do something. And the solutions are not going to bring anything back or fix anything.
Do you think there's any way that California could come back, Hollywood could come back, or is it too far gone at this point? Are we going to see Paramount, you know, this massive, if you drive through Hollywood, you see this massive Paramount Studios, which is like many, many blocks long. It's beautiful, you know, guard gates and palm trees and water towers. Like, will that be torn down? Is Paramount going to pull up stakes? Is Warner Brothers going to pull up stakes? Are they all going to just say, well, we're getting out of Dodge?
Yeah, I don't know. And I was born in LA. I've lived here my whole life, so I really have an affinity for the place. I don't want to see it, you know, burn down or destroyed or fall apart. But just in the last few months, a whole group of like legacy restaurants that have been around like 80, 90 years have all shut down. And because of commercial rents and things like that. And if you drive down Sunset Boulevard right now, I used to live right off Sunset. It was just, you know, 20 years ago, it was crazy. You know, the businesses
Yeah.
everywhere, bars. You drive down and out, half the buildings are shuttered. The businesses, the bars, the restaurants, half of them, there's nothing there. They're just closed, and they've been closed for years. And I just think that, like I said, the biggest problem with this state is it's got a lot of problems, but I think we have people, representatives across the board, who have no understanding of business. They're so caught up in so many other things. And look, I come from a lower middle class background, so I know what it's like to not be able to pay your bills and you know, be able to pay your rent. So if they can't take care of those things, it's going to get worse and worse, you know. And that's when we're going to really have a lot of trouble in the state, because there's a lot of people hurting. And they don't have solutions. Like, I don't know why we don't do, you know, 2-year rent control on commercial properties. You know, freeze the rents on commercial properties for a year or two. You know, sustain the small businesses that are getting pushed out, because small businesses are closing everywhere because the rents become higher. Their leases end, and then they get hit with like, you know, double the lease, and they just shut down. So it's like they're not doing anything to. No steps are taken to fix any of that stuff. And that's what concerns me. Because I'll say one last thing. When I went to Kentucky and produced the movie, the first thing someone said to me on the crew, who was from Kentucky, said, "Do you know why we just started our tax credit? Because Kentucky's only had it 2, 3 years." I said, why? He goes, because Andy Beshear wants to run for president in 2028. And I didn't even know who Andy Beshear was. And I go, who's that? He goes, the governor. And he goes, that's why we're doing the tax credit right now. He wants to build up the economy of the state so he can show it as, look what I did when he runs for president. Let's
Yeah,
see
the
if he was
sad thing
right.
about, yeah, we'll watch. I guess we'll watch and see. I
Yeah.
mean, this hopefully in Kentucky you can also find the money and the gold in Fort Knox also, if it's there or not. The sad thing is to me is that I hate this stuff because it's self-inflicted. It's like a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's not like there was a it, there's not like there was a big tsunami, a natural disaster that hit Los Angeles and we have to rebuild the movie industry and everyone had to film, or like Hurricane Katrina, everyone had to leave because of a natural disaster. This is all self-inflicted, right? I mean, it's bureaucracy, it's the legislature that self-inflicted this wound on themselves, and we're seeing now the fruits of that. It's really disgusting.
Yeah. I like I said, I try to look at I'm very populist and very pragmatic. So it's like, okay, let's just put all the social issues that this state fights with itself and the rest of the country aside. And how do they make the place better? How do they fix the economy? And apparently our gas is going up another 80 cents in a few weeks, things like that. So it's like, I don't know. And everywhere you go, it's so expensive for everything. I don't know about the rest of the country, but it's just, groceries are expensive. Gas is expensive. You pay tons in taxes. And I don't think people mind as much paying taxes if they get something for it, but it's just diminished returns. Here's the thing I've been asking people for last year. I say to everybody I know who's been in California a long time ago, tell me one thing, just one thing that's better now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And everyone's stumped. No one can ever think of one thing that's better in California than it was before.
Yeah, crime, housing costs, gasoline prices. Yeah, I'd be stumped too. And I lived
Yeah.
there, I lived there right after college. I lived in Los Angeles, and just to go back and see how different it is, it was really eye-opening, to be honest with you. A really troubling tent cities, it's
Yeah.
again, self-inflicted. It's still got 75 degrees temperatures and sunny pretty much every day. So it hasn't been a tsunami,
Yeah.
self-inflicted. James, where can people see your work? So you're still working and doing great work. Where can people like actually watch some of your films or what's coming out? What have you got down in the pipeline
Good thing. I'm
that you
glad you
can talk
asked.
about?
I think it's on June 27th. I wrote and produced a movie with Josh Duhamel and Greg Kinnear called Off the Grid that will be available on video on demand on June 27th in about 3 weeks, 2 weeks now.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun film action film that we shot in Mississippi. What a surprise. Yeah, so yeah, and Josh Duhamel's a great guy. He's just this badass action hero in it, and it's just fun. Doesn't have a lot to say about politics or anything, but just some mayhem, and it's just a fun movie. So,
And that's what we want, like that's to me what summer is, like mayhem. I don't need you preaching to me about politics and your ideology. I want to have some fun. I want to sit down, have some popcorn and watch it with my family and have a laugh and see some great action. That's what my summers were growing up. And man, it descended into preachiness a number of years ago. So great to hear that. What's the name of the film again?
it's called Off the Grid
Off
with
the
Josh
Grid.
Duhamel. Yeah. Josh Duhamel and
Oh, there
Greg
we go.
Kinnear in Off the Grid. So yeah, they just put out a trailer for it. So
We need to all go off the grid. James, great to see you. Thank you so much. Great to connect with you again after all these years and continued success and give my love to the family as well.
Thank you. Thank you. So good to talk to you.